In God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So within the first few minutes of every introductory conversation, when we're just meeting someone, it seems most times, maybe because Americans are nosy, but it seems that once we find out, well, who you are, and sometimes it comes up where you're from. You know, where are you from? You're meeting, you know, originally. Like, how did you get here? We say that. And what's another question we frequently come up in these introductory conversations?
Do you have kids?
Do you have kids?
What
do you do? You know, it's stuff like that. We kind of like, we use those conversations to say, you know, what is it in my experience, and you know, how do I take in or match up? How do I make a connection with this person? In celebrating the mystery of the incarnation, that is God becoming one with mankind in the person of Jesus Christ, it takes the church a couple of days to make that introduction. Like last night, we celebrated with Luke's gospel, so Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem, and you know, there's no room in the inn, and the child is born in the manger, a story we're all familiar with. And we celebrate God's presence among us in the form of a little helpless child that needs to be taken care of. And last night I spoke to the congregation about, you know, that it brings out the best in us when we're taking care of our kids, when we're taking care of people. That's an identity that we grow into, and indeed it's an identity that God most wants us to have. Yeah, we grow as people and are caring for others. So, yeah, a tiny, helpless child. This morning, the church is celebrating the divinity of Jesus, that Jesus, the godliness of Christ. Yeah. And so it takes us like 2 days. So what is it that we can say about this gospel and our encounter with the Word? Words are hugely important, you know, that they contain our stories. I say, like, who we are, what our identity, our occupation. And so we're careful around, even as we meet somebody for the first time. How are you? You know, where are you from? What is it you do? And we talked about that already. Now, in the course of that introductory conversation, we don't, just getting to know someone, we don't go to the heart of the matter. I would say, hi, so I'm really glad to know you. What is it that breaks your heart? What is it, your saddest memory growing up? What was the biggest loss you had in your life? You're at meeting somebody at a party and they follow up, how are you, what do you do? With those kinds of questions, you kind of step back and say, no. Not yet. That's not what we do when we say hello. We allow this gradual, like, getting to know you before we get to the heart of the matter. Before we become closer and let somebody get within our reserve and our boundaries. You don't quite get that close that soon. We're careful with our words. They kind of disclose more about us. You know, like who it is behind the person I'm trying most to appear to be, right here. Okay? We're very careful with our words because words carry with them consequences. Some words can't get unsaid. We're very careful with our words. I love you. When we say those words to someone with deep meaning, it carries big risk. Will we be loved back? I love you carries consequences and implications that I want to have a long and lasting relationship with you, that I'm prepared to commit to you. I love you. Words have consequences. I don't love you. People have heard those words. There's certain words that once that they get said, they can't get unsaid. And so we're careful with our words. We choose them carefully. We have a cause because they disclose so much about us. They open us up to so much vulnerability and risk and consequences. What is it that is said about Jesus? In the opening lines of the gospel, that we're told, in the beginning. Sound familiar? It's how Genesis starts. In the beginning, God said, God is disclosing, God's word is disclosed. Who God is being disclosed. God's word. What's the first thing God created? Let there be light. Let there be light. This creative word of God begins all of creation in Genesis by creating light. Well, just parenthetically, I have to share in our Bible study. It came up. Wait a minute. God said, let there be light, but he doesn't create the sun till, what is it, day three? Gets around to creating the sun. So where'd the light come from? Well, in the words of the Jewish storyteller, I'll just quickly explain to you that you can't work in the dark. You know, go downstairs to the basement where your workshop is, you have to turn on a light first. Can't work in the dark. And that was sort of the concrete approach that the writer of Genesis did. God can't work in the dark. He creates light. And so the word is associated with everything that gets brought into being is created through God's word. Relationships cannot be sustained without words. Without communication, you can't sustain a relationship. It's impossible. And so God comes into being through his word, Jesus Christ. God enters history to come into lasting and permanent relationships. Words have consequences. Words have consequences. The real enemy, we think of it, well, the real enemy is the devil or is evil. No, the real enemy is chaos. God brings order. He orders creation. He brings into relationship. The key to all things and the key to relationships is they establish a connection and a predictability and a constancy. You can't have, relationships are hard to sustain when chaos happens. Maybe the people will be home tonight, maybe they won't be home. Maybe they'll return your phone call, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll embrace you, maybe they'll punch you. You can't sustain a relationship without constancy in the fulfillment of expectations. The enemy of relationships is chaos. And so Jesus, God's word, enters human history. But the mission and the task hasn't changed. It is to establish relationships between God and us, to make them constant and predictable. Oh, sure, life can get unpredictable, but God's love is not unpredictable. It is always there, good days, bad days. Rich or poor, sickness, health, you know, all the stuff that means that God has come to marry us, to be our constant partner throughout our lives. And we, as many as received his words, he gave unto them the power to become the children of God. Meaning that once we embrace the word and the word becomes part of us, then our ability to participate in God's creation is part of the mission of Jesus, becomes our mission too. We become creators. We enter into God's creative process, building the kind of world that God intends, whereby things are brought into loving relationship, each with the other, and it's sustained, it's constant, it's predictable, it goes from generation to generation. What are the enemies? That hasn't changed either. Chaos. What is violence but chaos? That's the enemy. The enemy is hatred. Hatred causes violence, which causes chaos. It breaks relationships. It disorders us. And we spoke a little bit about last night about, you know, little kids don't know anything about hatred when they're infants or children, you know, toddlers. They don't know anything about hatred. How is it that they grow into adults and all of a sudden they've learned how to hate? Where did that happen? How did that happen along the way? Jesus enters the world so we can make a choice to know and understand love in a sustaining and life-giving way, that we're constantly, each person in his or her own way, bringing love and fidelity, sustaining relationships, saying, I love you and meaning it. And not just to a dear and intimate partner, but to a community. I'm not going anywhere. I am here with you. That's what the word proclaims today. Emmanuel, God with us. Each day, every minute, always, I'm here with you and I'm not going away. And to as many as embrace that message, he gave unto them the message, a living message to transmit, to take with you when you go. Wherever you are, each day, every day. Amen.